Hey, Yolanda Yvette listeners, thank you for tuning in. I just want to give you a quick disclaimer before we start this episode that there are some connection issues on his end with his Wi-Fi in Jamaica, but you guys are still in for a wonderful treat because AB Harris has some wonderful information that he's going to give you. I thoroughly enjoyed this interview, so I'm pretty sure you guys are too. So just wanted to give you a little heads up. Thank you for still tuning in, and you all know I love you all dearly. Here we go. Hey everyone, and welcome to Yolanda Yvette Speaks. It is me, Yolanda Yvette, your host with the mostest. Listen, I have a fantabulous show for you guys today. I have AB Harris, but in a minute we're gonna get to him in just a moment, y'all. You know, like always, I want you to go to my website if you have any questions or concerns, if you have any opportunities for me, anything. If you want to purchase my book, go ahead and feel free. It's all on YolandaYvetteSpeaks.com. That's YolandaYvetteSpeaks.com. All right, so let's go ahead and get to what you're here for, y'all. So today we have A.B. Harris. He is a newly published author of the book, The Tongues of a Woman. A.B. Harris was born Andrew Harris, and is the founder of the Inner Man Ministry, a Christ-centered ministry that seeks to help Christians and unbelievers know the ways of the Lord perfectly and strengthen their inner man. He is a servant, husband, and father, an experienced journalist, and graduate of the University of Technology in Jamaica. A.B. Harris is anointed to prepare the people of God, impart wisdom, and transform the nations. Y'all, listen, I'm so excited to talk to this man of God, y'all, because we had a brief little introduction, and I'm just already excited because he got some good stuff in the works, y'all, so we're going to go ahead and get started. A.B., welcome to Yolanda Yvette Speaks.
Thank you for having me, Yolanda. It's an honor. It's a blessing to be able to do this interview with you today. I've been waiting since you got in contact. I've been waiting, nervous but excited at the same time, because I know that when the Lord connects power with power, it's going to be an explosion.
Oh, listen, I love that. I love that. Gave me little goosebumps. I love it. So I read your a little bit of intro about you, but I would love for you to tell the listeners, who is A.B. Harris in your own words?
All right. So, well, A.B. Harris is your typical young man, but the thing that separates him from the typical young man is that I love the Lord. You know, I love the work of God. I love people. I believe, you know, that God loves people. And wherever the love of God is, there's potential for difference and greatness. You know, my story is not different from a lot of person's story. I grew in the church, but I found it out years after that. I was serving the church and I wasn't serving the Lord.
Ooh.
So that's where a lot of us get it twisted. Sometimes we're in the church and we're doing church stuff. We end up serving the church. Nothing is wrong with serving. You know, you serve and express your love for God through service. However, if you are missing God in all your serving, then you're in danger. So that's where I was. I was at that place in my life. And I got so plunged in sin because I
He's going to be back with us in just a moment, y'all. He's in Jamaica, so you know the technology and things. The connection is not as strong, so he's frozen right now. But we're going to give him a little time to get it back. Okay, we can hear it. Hold on. It's still frozen, y'all. Bear with us. Okay. Here you go. You were frozen for a little bit.
All right. Oh, I'm so sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
It was a connection.
It's okay.
Okay. Yeah. So I was saying, you know, while I was serving the church, I was losing my salvation.
Mm.
I was losing everything. And I knew, a part of me always knew that there was more to God than just what I'm experiencing. And because of this, I got plunged into the darkness, you know, sexual immoralities. I was in fornication, pornography. I got hooked on pornography for years as a teenager. I was as young as probably 13 years old, up until like 21 years old, mm-hmm. until I got had a radical encounter with the Lord. I was in such a dark place until I had a visitation, you know, a voice walked into my room. And from that day, my life got turned around. But I can tell you that, you know, a lot of us get trapped in the church, get religious, get look forward to be at church every Sunday, but we don't have a relationship with the Lord. You know, we're serving the church and on our way to hell. So that was my story until the Lord turned around my life, and now I'm able to really reach persons who are in similar situation. Because the thing is, sometimes we get so caught up in trying to be perfect, trying to put on a perfect image, trying to impress people, and we are losing our salvation. We're struggling. People in the church are struggling, and they can't express that. There's no safe place. There's no safe space to express that. And that was what was happening to me. You know, my pastors, they didn't understand the importance of discernment and the prophetic ministry, able to tell someone that, hey, you're going to hell, you know, you're in a mess. But because I was serving the church so well, they missed the fact that.
Oh no, he's frozen again, y'all. It's again. Bear with us. Bear with us. Just hold.
I wasn't serving the Lord.
Okay, so let me ask you, because how do you know, or how would someone know when they're serving the church and not serving the Lord? All right. How would they know?
All right, so this is how you know you're serving the church and not serving the Lord. If you are going to church every Sunday or Saturday, whatever day you choose to go to church, and you're doing all that perfectly, but you don't have a relationship with the Lord, then you are serving the church and not serving the Lord. If you feel like you are still in sin, if you're still struggling, then basically with the sins that are keeping you captive, then you're serving the church and not serving the Lord. You're doing a good job serving, giving to the church, but what's happening in your personal life, that's how you tell the difference. Do you have a prayer closet with the Lord? Do you read the word of God? Are you passionate? Are you hungry? Are you on fire for God? Because people can be comfortable going to church, you know, the social club, the ability to socialize, but they're not on fire for God. They're just doing church stuff because it's normal. It's a ritual, you know. It's become mm-hmm. a ritual. But when you have a relationship with God, serving the church, it doesn't separate you from serving God. The only difference is that the relationship with God, the hunger for God. When people see you at church, this is what happened to me. People saw me at church. They saw me giving service. But now when they see me, they see someone on fire for God. They see God before they see me. If you are, wow. If all people can see is that, oh, Andrew does a good job, or AB does a good job, he does this well. But when they can see Christ in my service, then they know that this guy is really serving the Lord. He's not just serving the church. At that time, when I was serving the church, I was commended on the service that was given to the church. But now when people see me, they say, oh my God, this guy's on fire for the Lord. He loves the Lord. Mm. So you see, you know, you feel it, and others can see it as well. It's just that difference is a relationship. What you do in your personal life, if
okay, y'all, hold on.
Going to church, hungry for God, then you are serving the church, you're not serving the Lord. If the absence of that fire is there, you're in danger.
Listen, I have been there before, and I never even knew that was a thing where I was serving the church, because it was, you know, it was social hour, it was whatever. I just like being there, being around everybody, and just doing what I was supposed to, quote unquote, supposed to do. And that was, I guess I was serving the church and I wasn't really serving the Lord, because sometimes it can get intertwined in what you're thinking you're doing is serving the Lord, but you're actually serving self.
Amen.
You know, but wow. But I'm glad you got that radical encounter with the Lord. We then came up in your room and said, "Hold on, sir, what we about? We ain't gonna keep doing this, huh?" He shook you.
Amen. 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 You know what's interesting is that when I used to, like, I was bound to masturbation and pornography. But the thing is that I used to cry out to God. I used to pray every single time. But it was until that encounter that I realized that I wasn't serious even in my repentance. Because a lot of time they teach you, just ask God for forgiveness when he's going to forgive you. But I wasn't repenting. I wasn't remorseful of what I'm doing. I enjoyed doing this. But I thought that I was repenting. And I remember that on January 1st, I think. Yeah, January the 1st or the 2nd, 2015. A voice walked in my room while I was repenting. Because what really happened was that I don't go to parties. So I am the type of Christian that even though I was playing, I keep it low. But people must still have that respect that I'm a Christian, you know? So I went to a party for New Year's. And oh my God, a young lady saw me and she said, "What are you doing here? Aren't you a Christian?" I was exposed. I was caught. And I just started drinking. And I don't drink. I don't drink. I don't mess with no... the vodka, all those stuff. I don't even mess with the wine, you know, because of how God has called me now. So what happened was, when I fell asleep, I was drunk, I got in, I slept, and I woke up, and I heard a voice said, "A fool drink to be drunken." I fell on my knees immediately, and I started crying and wailing, and the Lord asked me a question. No one would expect God to ask them this type of question in this low place. God said, "Are you serious now?" And when he asked me if I was serious now, he answered every single question that I would have had to ask. Because in the book of Chronicles, it says when David was dying, he said, "Serve the Lord with a perfect heart and a willing mind." You have to be willing. You have to be serious. And that was what that encounter did for me. A voice walked into the room while I was praying. And he said, "Are you serious now?" He asked me, just like we were talking now. He said, "Are you serious now?" And from he asked me that question, my life has never been the same again.
Woo, that is such... Ooh, that's a testimony.
My God.
Oh, that is a testimony. Like, that's... Wow. Like, that alone, so whoever is hearing this, I'm pretty sure that probably brought them back to a place where they, you know, had a memory like, ooh, that could have been me, should have been me, you know, type of deal. Wow, that's wow. So I want to talk about this book, sir, because we are author. Okay, welcome to the author world, honey. So,
oh,
The
God.
Tongues
oh,
of
God.
A Woman, like, first off, that name is... amazing, great title. So let's talk about it. Tongues of a Woman.
All right. So the Tongues of a Woman, how this book birthed is very interesting. I was on a 28 days fast. I was seeking the Lord, you know. I just, you know, migrated here to be with my family, my wife and my young daughter. And, you know, I spent a lot of time praying. I was on a 28 days fast seeking the Lord, and I'm like, "God, you know, I just was just asking God for a lot of directions." And my wife and I was heading to church one day, and she was talking to me, and then the Lord started speaking to me. And he said, "You know what, write a book, The Tongues of a Woman." And in that moment, probably 5 minutes, he downloaded everything I needed for the book. The book, I started writing the book in February. I ended in March. So 3 weeks it took me to finish the book. And it's now published. So The Tongues of a Woman, it speaks to the influence of a woman. Through the wisdom and the information, it takes you through historical practical and personal experience. And I'm not just talking about this. I've lived this. I've used historical data to show them that, hey, the Bible has always been telling us about this, but there are people in history that, you know, for example, Julius Caesar's daughter, the Bible spoke of her as a woman with a quick tongue. You know, she was very influential. So the book is speaking about the influence of a woman. It looks into women who have built men, built society, preserved people. It is so important for a woman to have wisdom and to understand what God requires of her, because that's how she is able to build a nation, to preserve a generation. One of the things is that a lot of people always say, you know, behind a great man is a great woman. I wouldn't put that great woman behind the man. She's right next to that man.
Right.
Because a lot of people don't see the work that when you are married, as a married person, do you walk in front of your wife and she's behind you? No, she's next to you. So it's so important to know how influential a woman is and how key she is to a man's life. The words that she speak, you know, through the book, I show them that, listen, if you're a woman that's going to speak destruction, you are destroying your husband. You are destroying your open doors to be invaded by women who come to seduce. So you're further destroying that man, you know. And but once you're a woman who builds, when you look around us, God is pouring out His Spirit on our women. Women are in ministry. They're moving mountains. You're seeing them in the apostolic, the prophetic, and all different anointing. You're seeing them in the corporate world, you know. And it's so important for a woman to build. Not only build, but to preserve what is built. You know, the tongue is very influential.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of James, it tells us about the tongue. The small thing that controls the whole body, you know, it determines everything. The Bible speaks of life and death in the book of Proverbs and the power of the tongue. So it's so important to understand how influential a woman is. And the key of her influence is what she uses to do. Does she use her influence to build, to create, to sustain, or does she use it to destroy and take away lives?
Wow. So it's a choice, right? So how would if a woman is like, I want to be the one who builds up my nation, who builds up the man of my life, who builds up my children and whatever, right? Or even themselves, because again, is life or death in the power of the tongue. So what suggestions would you have for that woman?
All right, so the suggestion, the first thing is this, and, you know, the other day I was just listening to the Lord, and he was saying this to me, that the first step of empowerment alignment.
You said alignment.
In order for you to be empowered, you're trying to be aligned to. You, yes, align.
Oh, y'all. We froze again.
And what are you trying to be aligned to? You have to be aligned with God's, but unbeknownst to a lot of people, that was Lamech. No, not Lamech. Lamuel's mother was telling him the ways of the woman that he should choose. So if you want to be a woman that builds and preserves, one of the first things you have to understand is who you are in God. What has God called you to be? You know, you have to know that, you know, God didn't call you to be seductive or to put yourself out there, or, you know, a lot of what we're seeing in today's society. And I blame our men, and I blame also the women before these women, because they didn't teach them the ways. People only think what is required for women is cook and clean. No, God has made you to more than to cook and clean and to do all of these stuff. How do you take care of your family? So she wanted to know, how do I be wise? You first have to start with the seeds you sow in the lives of your children, the seed you sow in the life of your husband. Are you the type of woman that's going to tell your husband that you are worthless, you know, you're no good? If your husband is your head, and you don't know how to speak to your head, then there's no way you will know to speak to those who are under you. So how you honor your head as a woman, it's key. I'm not saying you should bow down and throw down yourself before your husband. No, that's not what I'm saying. You know, you see a weakness in your husband as a woman. How are you going to address that weakness? You address it by strengthening him. You address it by, you know, it's so easy to say, you're doing this wrong, instead of saying, you know what? You almost got it, but let me show you a perfect way. So it's the key is how you speak, you know, what you say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the difference. And a lot of times, it's easy and quick to say negative things. It's so easy to just, you know, I'm just going to tell this person my mind. But when through humility and peace, you say, you know what? My husband did something foolish, but I'm not going to answer him in this manner. And sometimes it's so interesting is that how you answer a person can change the entire dynamic. Sometimes, for example, my wife, you know, I will answer her in such a way, and she didn't expect that answer, so she don't know what to say. She said, you know what? I don't have a comeback for that one. that's the difference how a woman changes. You learn, you know what? Wisdom is a tool of direction. You can be knowledgeable about something, but it's how you apply the knowledge that makes a difference. So if you as a woman knows that, you know what? My husband is weak in this area. The man, honestly, some women.
Here we go.
Understand that. Some not because society teaches him that, oh, if you do this, you're going to look like a weak man. As a woman, you have to make your husband, you know, vulnerable to want to share these things, because if he knows that you're going to build him, he will tell you everything. But if he knows that if he say this, you're going to crush him, then you're not going to get anything out of him. And that's how you express that wisdom. That's how you build that man, by strengthening his weakness, by showing him that, hey, you're important to me. You know, just your words, how do you communicate to this man that you are the greatest man in the world? Mm. You are a leader. You know, it's how you communicate these things. You know what's interesting? On my honeymoon, and I put this in a book, my wife said something to me and it blew my mind. You're just there and I'm like, babe, watch me walk on water. You know, because I believe God for crazy things, but even in moments, in fun moments, I'm like, watch me walk on waters. And I stepped on the water and I sank, and she said, man of God, your faith shall take you to great places. You know, and I'm like, she didn't know that simple thing that she said made a difference for me. It's the things you say as a woman. It's how you react to even when your husband say foolishness, when he says things that you want to rebuke him and say, you're saying foolishness, you're foolish. You know, you don't react that way. You react in such a way that he's like, this woman is not normal. You know, you react to your husband in a way that let him think to himself that I cannot lose this woman. You know, she's not normal. That's how you identify these things. You know, and the next area is that a lot of women struggle with submission. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Submission is not, and let me show you what submission. You can cook, you can clean, you can do all of that, and you're not submissive to your husband. Submission begins from your heart. It's what's in your heart. It's what's expressed. You know, you can do all of this, and you go one side, and you're murmuring. Right. You know, Ruth, I use Ruth as an example in the book. Ruth laying at Boaz's feet on the bed. That's a representation of submission. Submission is the ability to humble yourself, even in a case where you don't feel like it. It's the ability to humble yourself to the person who is set as head over you. And you humble yourself in how you address that person, or you speak to that person, or you respond to that person. Wisdom for a woman begins there, you know? Aligning.
How does it make you feel when you hear your wife build you up or say good things? You know, like how does that make you feel as a man, or even on the outside, if you ever see another woman building up you know, the male figure? Like, how does that make you feel? Because maybe, because I want our listeners to know, you know, like, men feel this way when you do this thing.
It makes you feel evaluated then. As a man, let me say, for example, men are taught to be strong, you know, strength and stuff like that. And men have weaknesses. Don't ever think that there's not something that a man is afraid that people may know or is exposed of him, you know? So when I hear my wife, for example, when I was starting the inner man ministry, you know, she keeps saying, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? I knew what I want to do, but I couldn't articulate it. So we sat down and she was jotting down and writing as I spoke. And she said, you know what? This is what you want to do. And she even helped me to come up with a name and everything, you know. And she's saying, you know, she's always telling me that, you know, you have a powerful anointing on your life, you know, God. And even when I was attracted to listen to other men of God, she's like, why are you always so interested in these men of God? You have something greater on your life. So when you hear that coming from your wife, you feel like you can do anything. You feel like, hey, if I go out there and my boss tell me that you are the worst employee, it doesn't move you, because what your wife told you as when you left the house, it can take you through the day then. As a man, when you hear that, you feel like you are her husband. You feel like you are the man that God gave her. And when she tells you these things, it lifts you. It lifts you, because people don't understand that everybody needs encouragement. But for a man, when I see a wife tending to her husband with respect and with love, and she, for example, I was at the award ceremony and the woman was saying, you know what, her husband is the humblest man, the most loving man, and the strongest man she knows. I'm like, whoa, you want your wife to talk about you in that manner. So it makes you feel encouraged. It makes you want to, and this is the key thing. When a man is encouraged, and I want every woman who's listening to hear this, when a man is encouraged, that man will do anything for you.
He froze again. He froze on a good sentence, though. Okay.
You will know that you're encouraged by a woman.
Okay, hold on. You froze right. You froze right at a good woman. at a good sentence. You said when, dang yeah. I lost it. You said when a man, no, when a woman. Say it again. Listen, my
He's
mind.
Encouraged by a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying, all right, when a man feels encouraged by a woman, he will do anything
with
that woman. Even if he cannot afford to do it. Once a man is feel so lifted by a woman or his wife, that man will want to show her how much value she is to him. He will go to the ends of the world to show that woman that, listen, you mean everything to me. And that's the difference with a woman who...
Uh-oh. It froze again, y'all. Hold on.
Courages and bills. And these things are things that you should value. Those men need training. You know, they need training and they need to go through some reculture. They need to be recultured and trained and everything. But when a real man knows and sees a woman's value, he will honor that value. A man will honor a woman who makes him feel like he's valued, he's important, and she needs him.
So you might have said something about it when you were breaking up, but what about that man? The woman can value you, can speak, you know, life into you, can build you up, but then you are just such, you the man are not there mentally, you know. I don't know if it's that you're not receiving it or you're just out here still playing games, that type of deal. Should the woman still continue to pour into that man because maybe he didn't see a successful relationship or all that kind of stuff?
On a relationship note, one of the things is this, and I told my wife this. I remember when I was just meeting my wife and she said to me, you know, you haven't asked me to be your girlfriend. So I said, do you want to be a girlfriend or you want to be a wife? And You know, I told her, do you want to be a girlfriend or do you want to be a wife? And she shut up.
Oh, wait, hold on, y'all. It's breaking up. I apologize. It's his connection. Hold on. Bear with us, y'all. He'll be back. Usually it's just a few seconds. Okay, this is a little longer than a few seconds. Wait a minute.
You can hear me now?
Hold on. AB, there you go. There you go.
Yes, yes, I'm still here.
Okay.
So, yes, as I was saying, is that I say that to say this. A man knows if he wants to be with you for the rest of his life for probably the first 3 months. It doesn't take a man a long time to know if I want to be with this woman. So one of the things that I would encourage a woman to do is this. Do not pour too much in a man. That's not.
Oh, y'all. Goodness. This is so good. And he's breaking up. He's freezing. Hey, everyone. I got AB back. So here we go. AB?
Yes.
All right.
I'm trying to remember where we
were
stopped.
Talking about. You said. Oh, goodness. What was it? Shimmy Christmas.
I think I remember. What I was saying is that I don't think a woman should be giving too much.
Yes.
To a man, pouring too much into a man that she's not married to. You know, when she does that, she's giving away all her goods right there. If you can't give away all your goods to a man you don't marry, what is going to be there for the marriage, you know? You should give in appropriate measure. Let me explain what I'm saying. For example, if you are courting someone, and this is just me, I'm not doing, but if you're courting someone, you know, there are things that you do when you're courting, but you can't give everything. For example, then, someone you're courting, you're courting a guy, he takes you home, you know, he drops you off at the gate, he opens the gate to you, good night, you move on. No, you don't invite him up for no nightcap. You don't invite him up for a kiss. You know, certain things you have to retain for marriage. When you realize that he's interesting, he's showing great interest in you, and he's serious about.
Just hold on for a moment. Hold the line. If you mind, if you don't mind, please and thank you. And we're going to see what's going on. All right, y'all. Here we go. We got AB back. So go ahead, AB. Continue what you were saying.
Yeah, so as I was saying, you know, you cannot be pouring everything into a man that you're not married to. And people need to understand their giving limits. You know, you are courting someone. You guys are dating. There are certain boundaries. There are certain borders. You know, you have to set boundaries and barriers. And when you see that person is giving you interest, interested in you, and that's when you guys have made a commitment to start building together. That's when it's safe to start pouring in that man. So because a lot of women end up pouring in men that be giving all of your goods. You know, I always tell my wife that, you know, what I realize with women these days is that a lot of them make the mistake, and I don't blame them. You know, I just wish that someone would have taught them these things. You can't be treating a guy, you can't be giving boyfriend, husband privileges.
Ooh.
It doesn't work like boyfriend don't get husband privileges. Boyfriend don't get a full course cooked meal. You know, you guys go out for lunch. You know, you can't be presenting everything to boyfriend. What's husband gonna get? You know,
ooh,
You know, that's the thing. You know, I'll be honest, that's the thing. And as I said, a man knows when he wants to marry you. It doesn't take some man's, if it has to take a man 7 years to marry you, you wasted 7 years of your life.
Ooh, that's good. You know,
2 years. For me, you should be settled on the woman you want to marry as a man within 6 months. Mm-hmm. Everything else you will learn. And you will learn, it takes time to learn about people. But it's not that hard for a guy to tell that this is my wife. You should see characteristics. You should know her level of thinking. You should understand certain things. If you're a man of God, the first thing you're going to look for is that, does this woman loves God? If you're a woman of God, you can't be attracted to men who says, you know what, there's a term that they use, I go to church. Oh, that's good. You're telling me about church. I still don't hear about Jesus as yet. You know? You have to look out for these things. You have to listen for these things. And to be honest to you, it hurts me to see what our women are going through. I have a daughter, I have a wife, I have a lot of sisters. And I try to tell my sisters, stop giving these guys husband privileges. Stop treating these guys like husbands. What's going to happen is that you're going to end up being a single mother. You know? And this is what I always say in my wife. Your treasure.
Oh, no. We're about to... He's freezing up. AB. AB, no. Hopefully the connection stays because this is about to... I know it's about to happen. Uh-oh. Nope. It's not going to work. AB. It's so slow, it hasn't even caught up. AB? Okay, I think it's about to cut him off. So, we'll see. Just a few more seconds, y'all. Like I said before, we're gonna see. We're going to give him a moment. And if I think what's going to happen is going to happen. Hold on.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey. Perfect. Okay, I'll listen. I was like, what's going on, Amy?
Yes, I'm seeing you perfectly.
Okay, so what were you saying? Because we couldn't hear anything.
No, I was saying that, you know, even my sisters, I tried to tell them that, hey, you can't be giving these boyfriend, husband privileges. What's going to happen is that you're going to end up a single mother. And if you're a Christian woman, you know, you have to have Christian standards. You can't have the same standards as a woman of the world. You know, she has her own standards. As a Christian woman, your first standard is love for Jesus. You know, and you don't say I love Jesus by saying I love Jesus. You should see that in their character. And one thing about the book is that, you know, I do personal prayers because I do a prayer of impartation because our women need to have discernment. Don't allow yourself to be cycled and recycled. Don't be going around in circles and cycles. You know, I'm so hurt to see how hurt a lot of our women are because they have to go through 7 relationships before they find that one person. And when the 6th relationship comes, they have given everything they can offer. Now, when they enter the 7th relationship, it's chaos for them sometimes, you know? So that's the danger, you know? And a lot of our women have a lot to offer. They just need discernment. They need the right person. They need the right mother in their ear, the right aunt in the. They don't need a mother who's going to tell them the wrong thing. I know to get. You see, some mothers can only teach what they know.
Right.
They have not been taught. You know, they can't teach what they don't know. And this is what the word of God. You know, that Proverbs 31 woman, she builds a village. You know, when her husband walks by the elders, they salute him because this woman, and this is the key thing. The Bible says a woman who fears the Lord, he shall be praised. Her value is more than rubies and precious stones. She is a value that you cannot be purchased. Her value cannot be bought with any earthly thing. you know?
Mm.
And that's the type of woman. That's in, I believe a Proverbs 31 is in every woman, but she haven't gotten the right resources to bring out that. Oh my God, our women are wonderful, but they just have been through bad situations.
Right.
You know, abuse and so many things, and they look to the wrong models.
Mm.
You can't, you know, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but you can't be praising Jesus and idolizing a Cardi B and those are not your example. The Beyoncé's, those are not your examples. You are their examples, Proverbs 31 woman. My Christian sister, you are their examples. They can be your example. What, tell me, what can they offer you as a woman who loves Jesus?
Mm.
Nothing.
Ooh. AB, listen, I could talk to you all day if the connection was right. Oh my goodness. I know my listeners are so upset right now, but what I want you to do, I want you to take this time and I want you to tell people how they can get your book, The Tongues of a Woman, how they can get in contact with you in everything. I'm going to let you have this moment. Go ahead. If you have anything coming up, go ahead. Just talk. Go ahead. It's on you.
All right. Praise God. So The Tongues of a Woman, it's available on Amazon and Amazon Kindle. You know, you can go there. You can go ahead and purchase it. But right now, you can follow me on Facebook. I'm AB Harris. At Twitter, the handle is AB Harris 5. I'm on Instagram as King AB Harris. You know, my YouTube channel, The Inner Man. You search AB Harris. You can, if you want to get in contact with me, you know, you can connect with Yolanda. Yolanda has my email, and I guess, you know, she can go ahead and share that information with whomever wants to be in contact with me. But, you know, the book is available now for those who want to get it. I'm actually doing a video on Facebook to tell you, to tell them more about the book. But, yeah, you can go ahead on Amazon. You can order your book on Kindle. It's available. You can order your book. You know, and I want to use this opportunity to encourage our women. You are precious.
Mm.
You are worth more than rubies and diamonds. The Bible tells you that. You are wonderful in every way. But it's aligning yourself with God that makes a difference. Learning what God requires of you. Rejecting what society is trying to force on you to believe. You are stronger than you think. Your influence is greater. Who lays next to the president? It's a woman at night. Who lays next to the general of the army? It's a woman at night, you know? Whose brother are these? It's a woman. Your influence is so great, and you need to understand that through your influence, you are going to play a key role in shaping the next generation.
Wow. Y'all, listen, this is one of the moments that I've been waiting for the show, right? So, AB, it's time for me to ask you what I ask everybody. I would love for you to leave the listeners with a tip, whatever's on your heart, your mind, your soul, the first thing that comes to your mind.
All right. First and foremost, I want to say, you know, Yolanda, I want to thank you. You know, God is using you. And even as I'm talking, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to me. God is using you, and your reach is going to be greater. God is using you. I see you training women, and I see you just see you with a passion to touch the heart of people. So God is going to use you greatly, even from, not because you come in contact with me or anything like that, but what God has planned in store for you is wonderful, and your listeners' lives are going to be transformed because God is going to take you into a new dimension of knowledge and wisdom. But for the listeners, you know, you are listening a good program, and I know the Lord is going to show you that and confirm many things in your life. But what I want to leave with you guys is to know that you are valued. Understand the value that God has placed on your life. Understand that Jesus Christ is the only way to understand that value. You know, I was at a place where I didn't understand how much valuable I was to God. You know, you're valuable to God. That the word said that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Mm.
You need to understand that you are you mean to God more than anything. Your soul is so valuable. It doesn't matter where you find yourself, what situation you find yourself in. Know that once you're taking breath, there's hope. Know that you will overcome your current situation. Know that God is right there waiting for you to cry out. I've learned this and I'm sharing it with you. You can serve God and you can overcome your struggles. You can walk in a great relationship with God, but you have to serve Him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Wake up every day with that mandate on your mind that I'm going to serve God. I'm going to give God the best service. And when you give God the best service, you'll give you, as a wife, you'll be a great wife. You will give your husband the best service. As a husband, you'll be a great husband. You'll give your wife the best service. You'll be the model, an example for your children by the service you give to God. Mm. That's my final words to you.
Woo, we y'all. Listen, we're going to have AB back up here, y'all. I thoroughly enjoyed the things that I heard. So, y'all, this has been another episode of Yolanda Yvette Speaks. Y'all know I love you all dearly, and I am going to talk to you guys another time. Bye.
And God bless you. Love up in Jesus. Take care, Yolanda.